Robots Radio presents...
Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast.
I'm not usually a hat fan, but wow.
I'm
really sipping on that dumb bitch juice today.
Yeah, I am. But you know what? Someday I just might grow out of that. But you will never stop being a jerk.
All chocolate cakes are good. You're a fascist.
It's hideous.
It's horrible.
It's home.
Angry white boy, let's go!
Hello, and welcome to Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast, where business is personal. That's Simone LaRue.
And that's Chad Echowitz with a vaguely threatening intro.
You know, I was actually saying this to a colleague today. So basically how it works without getting into like the minutiae of the law, because I'm sure that's why people come to this podcast, is...
That's why I do.
Exactly. So when you're not allowed to represent both sides, like as a firm, you're not allowed to like... I mean, that makes complete sense, right?
Yeah.
Now...
Yeah. Little conflict of interest.
Exactly. Now, there are like certain carve outs to that. So like there are certain rules you can put in place so that you can act for both sides, as long as like the same people aren't working for both sides, so different solicitors from the same firm can do so, etc. Yeah. etc. So like I'm doing one of these matters with someone, and I sat there today and I just thought, this is not as dramatic as they make it out on TV, and I'm very disappointed in this. Not once have me and this person looked at each other with hateful scorn in our eyes. Not once have I cornered either one of us cornered each other, you know, heading off to get a drink and being like, I'm going to win this case and there's nothing you can do about it. There's no friendly bets.
And then, like, there's some weird sexual tension.
Precisely. There's none of that. There's absolutely nothing. And it's like the stakes have never been lower, and I'm really upset about this.
Ugh. Wow, all those years of law school wasted, really.
I mean, what did Suits teach me? I'm furious.
Educational programming Suits?
It's one and the same. I mean, that's why it was such a hit, because it was so educational for law students.
I thought so.
Yeah. I was actually watching an episode the other day with my parents, and I was like, oh God, these people should all just be arrested. This is so wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it starts off with them doing something highly illegal, and it does not get better.
It does not. It does not. And speaking of something being highly illegal and then not getting better, what movies are we doing this week?
Oh, I love it!
The Return of the Transition.
That was great. I loved that. We are doing the Boss Baby movies. Last episode, we mistakenly said we were doing the Boss Baby trilogy because we were uninformed. There are only two movies.
I love how you say we when this was purely on me. Like, look at you trying to take the fall for my indiscretions. I really do appreciate that.
I'm a model co-host.
You really are.
Half the time. And I'm not pushing episode recordings back by 2 days.
Yeah, basically, we're recording this, guys, and then we'll immediately be recording the next episode, so just get ready for that.
Imagine. I don't think we could.
No, God, could you imagine the energy? But I also wanted to just bring this about because I didn't realize this is the second mistake in terms of this episode that I made. It has nothing to do with Simone, and she's like basically flawless, untouchable for this episode. But I heard of... I decided we should do a Boss Baby episode before I realized the horrible things that Alec Baldwin has done in the past couple of weeks. So I do just want to apologize if this is sort of seeming offensive to anyone or sort of very crass. It was completely unintentional and very ignorant of me. And in no way are we supporting Alec Baldwin or his
career.
Not
a Baldwin plug.
Anything of that nature.
He's not a nice man.
No, definitely not. No, he's the worst. And so I do apologize. We're doing these movies because they're awful, not because of Alec Baldwin. We promise.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Well said.
Thank you. So, good. Let's see who goes first, even though we already know who goes first. What are you drinking today?
I'm having a nice red wine.
Ooh, very nice.
Yes. Someone left it at my house after the Halloween dinner that I hosted, so...
Oh, lovely.
Now it's mine. Yeah.
Isn't that the good thing
fancy.
About hosting, you know, dinners and stuff, is whatever's left behind is yours?
I mean, I told him to take it, because, like, we hadn't even opened it, and he was like, nah, I had other wine while I was here, so I'll leave this bottle. bottle, so...
Ah, that's nice. It's like, give a penny, take a penny, but with wine.
Exactly.
What a dream. What a dream life you're living.
What a dream.
So talk to me more about this Halloween lunch. I don't care about this movie now. Like, let's talk Halloween first.
It was a dinner, which is why I didn't want to record on Sunday.
Ah.
Nothing fancy. I didn't tell people to, like, dress up or anything. I just made some, like, themed food and played spooky music.
Nice.
I made, like, black and orange spaghetti, so it was, like, squid ink spaghetti. Ooh. With a vegetarian bolognese that I added cream to, so it was orange.
That's cool.
And then I made black garlic bread, because the grocery store down the road for me is very bougie, and so I was, like, activated charcoal ciabatta.
Wow, that's incredible.
So I made that
incredible.
Into garlic bread.
That sounds amazing. Was it good? Like, did it affect the taste at all?
Not really. It had a slightly more, like, earthy taste to it.
Okay.
But I mean, garlic bread is garlic bread. Like, put enough garlic and butter on anything and it's delicious.
It's a win. It's a win. That's your cooking tip for the
week. What did you get up to Halloween night?
Halloween night. So what did I do? I went over to my parents for dinner. That's what I did. So that was lovely. My parents forgot to take their sweets out of the attic, so their house was just shrouded in darkness, so none of the kids would come by. Which is really on brand for my parents, if you think about it. So we just had a really nice dinner. We just had a very chilled, relaxing dinner.
Why do they keep their sweets in the attic?
Because otherwise my dad eats them. He's like Winnie the Pooh, and if he discovers, like, if there's...
No, yeah. I get that.
It's a sort of risk to benefit to effort ratio with my dad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, going up into the attic is a bit of too much effort to get sweets where he could just, like, go to the shops, I guess.
That's cool. Yeah. That's smart. Yeah, I don't keep sweets or chips in the house. Chips are really my downfall, mm-hmm. as we all know. So we don't keep chips in the house.
That's fair. I think that's a good idea. Because it's always the fun game. Am I hungry or am I bored? And
am I hungry or do I just really want chips?
Yeah. Ooh, speaking of chips, my parents went to the South African store the other day and bought flings. And they saved me half a bag, which is pretty incredible.
Oh. Oh, shit. Did you devour them?
Today. I finished them off today. I had like a midday stop and I had to destroy them. Listeners, I'm so sorry for our non-South African listeners, but you are all going to die with one of the biggest regrets in your life, and that's to never have flings. They are an enigma wrapped in a mystery, and they are the most beautiful food of all time.
Go to your local South African section in your store if you have one. Get yourself some flings.
Mm-hmm.
Or knickknacks. Knickknacks are...
It will change your life.
Not the same, but super fucking delicious.
Yeah, they really are. You come for the cheese powder, you stay for the MSG. It's incredible.
I love it. Okay. Well, wait, sorry, what are you drinking? I've been so rude.
it's okay. It's all right. Don't worry. You covered for me earlier saying this, you know, the mistakes were also yours. So,
no.
You know, it's balance. No. I'm back on my banana bullshit, just with a nice banana beer again.
Cute.
I didn't have a chance to go and shop for more liquors, so I'm just sticking to the old reliable, and it's very, very tasty.
If it ain't broke.
Exactly. So, I mean, we had already decided you were going to do the first one, so, you know, go for it whenever you're ready, my friend.
Okay. Let's do this. Boss Baby. Tim, who as narrator and an adult is voiced by Tobey Maguire, and who as a child is voiced by Miles Bakshi. Tim is your average kid who lives his best life with his parents. His mom, played by Lisa Kudrow, and his dad, voiced by Jimmy Kimmel. The three of them are an ultimate team. Tim has a very active imagination and plays lots of games of pretend, and he gets all of his parents' love and attention. Until his baby brother arrives. The baby, voiced by Alec Baldwin, looks like a normal baby at first, except he wears a suit. But he soaks up all of Tim's parents' affection and time and attention, and Tim hates him. He hates him. And then one night, he overhears the baby talking on a phone. The baby can talk with Alec Baldwin's voice. And he walks in on a conspiracy. The baby comes from Baby Corps, which is where babies come from. Their job is to just obviously get babies out there to the world, but then also just like make sure things go smoothly for babies in the world. At the moment, they are encountering a crisis because puppies are currently outpacing babies in the amount of love that they're getting. And this is a problem because obviously if puppies get all the love, where's the love for babies? Nowhere. Then no one wants babies. Can confirm. So... Yeah. They basically have to try and infiltrate this puppy convention. Their parents both work for Puppy Co., which is owned by Francis Francis, played by Steve Buscemi. And at some point, Tim also goes on a tour of Baby Corps where the boss baby's like, oh, you know, I'm upper management and my dream is to be like the big boss baby, which is like, I guess the...
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the biggest
it's
baby.
The boss baby, boss baby.
The boss baby, boss baby. So they go, hijinks ensue. The brothers kind of bond while all of that's happening. They discover that the new puppy is a puppy that stays a puppy forever, which is very scary. And also that Francis Francis used to be the big boss baby.
Holy crap. What a revelation.
Yeah. Yeah, and he needs to steal the baby formula that the babies use to stay, like, intelligent and able to talk. He uses that to make his puppies. But basically, long story short, they thwart his evil scheme through shenanigans. Mm-hmm. And the boss baby is going to go back to Baby Corps, and it'll be like he was never there. But then Tim realizes that he actually really misses him, and the boss baby realizes he really misses Tim. So he writes a letter, boss baby gets the letter, and he comes back home. And the two of them grow up together as loving brothers. The end.
How adorable. So, what is your cliffhanger for this one?
Oh, I mean, it has to be this one.
Dad? Hey. What happened to bedtime?
We'll have it on Monday, Mr. Francis.
Don't cry! Don't cry! Hello?
Making great progress with the parents already. Well, the usual procedure, sleep deprivation, hunger strikes. They're very disoriented. I've got them eating out of the palm of my hand. They do everything for me. It's hilarious. But I think the kid might be on to me. No, I can handle him. I know how important this mission is to the company.
Mission?
Well, trust me, ma'am. You've got the right baby for this job.
Hands up, double baby!
Fart poop duty! Deal with the KID.
You can talk!
Goo goo gaga.
No, you can really talk. I heard you.
Fine. I can talk. Now let's see if you can listen. Get me a double espresso and see if there's some place around here with decent sushi. I'd kill for a spicy tuna roll right about now. Get yourself a little something.
Who are you?
Let's just say I'm the boss.
The boss? You're a baby. You wore a diaper.
You know who else wears diapers? Astronauts and NASCAR drivers, that's who. Called efficiency, Templeton. The average toddler spends, what, 45 hours a year on the potty? I'm the boss. I don't have that kind of spare time.
Well, you're not the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
No, you're not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2. M2.
I was here first. Just wait till Mom and Dad find out about this.
Oh, yeah? Think they'd pick you over me with your track record?
You don't know anything about me.
So that's how you want to play it, huh? Let's see. Templeton Timothy, middle name. I'm sorry. Leslie. Mostly C's.
How do you know all that?
Can't ride a bike without training wheels? Even bears can ride a bike without training wheels. Leslie? DOB says you're 7.
7.5.
Power nap, you were saying.
I'm 7.5.
Exactly. You're old. It's time to make way for the next generation. It's the way of the world. You would never ask your parents for an old toy.
Lam Lam?
Everyone wants the hot new thing.
Lam Lam!
I've got fresh batteries. Boom!
Mom and Dad don't even know you. They love me.
Oh, yeah? Do the math, kid. There's only so much love to go around. It's like these beads. You used to have all your parents' love,
all their time, all their attention. You had all the beads. But then I came along. Babies take up a lot of time. They need a lot of attention. They get all the love.
We could share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
That was such a great line. I really appreciated that line. I mean, I think that was what was nice about this film is they really did pay a lot of attention to the dialogue, and it had some really, really solid moments
really
in it.
Some really funny moments.
Yeah, yeah. I was
both of these movies had moments where, like, I was surprised at myself laughing out loud because I was just like, oh shit, that's really funny.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these movies should be, like, inherently they should be dumb. I mean, it's about a baby who's a boss. Like, the premise alone is just enough to make you roll your eyes.
Yeah.
But honestly, just adorable the whole way through, like low-key like this.
I love the character design of the boss baby, like especially when he's just like in his shirt and little socks with the suspenders. I don't know why the detail of the socks with suspenders, I was just like, that is the fucking cutest, funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It was, for me, it's the moments where he goes in and out of being an actual baby, like towards the end of the film where he's like starting to lose his boss baby status and he's becoming like just a standard baby. Just wanted to give that plot point away to anyone who hasn't seen the movie yet. He starts to turn into a normal baby. And those transitions where he's like freaking out and he's going between being a normal baby and a boss baby is just so funny because he's so cute. He's so cute as a baby. And then just, like, the funniest character is an actual boss baby. And it's just, yeah, it's just fun. It's just really fun.
It's all very silly. I will say, I think that the animation style was very cool. Like, especially for all of Tim's, like, imagination scenes where he's, like, picturing what's happening and stuff. I think, like, some very, very cool animation happens there. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what? I did not see the twist coming that Francis used to be the big boss baby.
No.
I was impressed with that.
It was very good. Like, that was very, very cool. I did love the Chekhov's bottle in the first one. That was great how they used that. I did not see that coming either. You know, it was such a buried thing, and I was, you know, you and I are usually pretty good at spotting Chekhov's various appliances, so it was quite a nice surprise to be like, oh my god, boss baby hoodwinked me. How is this physically possible?
Oh my god.
I really enjoyed the fact that they had like big names in this movie. I mean, Steve Buscemi, Tobey Maguire, Lisa Kudrow, Alec Baldwin. I mean, wow.
Yeah, I'm also quite surprised. I guess, I don't know, I think voice acting is like a fun thing to do, and then the actors like get a nice fat paycheck for doing it.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
I mean, I guess that's the same for every movie that they do, but like this, they don't even have to put on makeup.
No. You can just sit in a nice comfy chair, just read lines with a nice hot cup of tea. That's probably got to be the best bit, right? Because you got to keep your voice warm. So you can't have like cold drinks or milkshakes.
True. So that's... I love that, like, in this universe that you're picturing, they don't normally have tea. They can only treat themselves to tea if they're voice acting.
Oh, absolutely. It's in their contract.
Did you see
a single cup of tea on the set of Jumanji? Are you mad? That's crazy talk.
Oh my god, I had no idea.
You couldn't. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a big fan of his Earl Grey. You know, he likes to have it in like really tiny cups to make him look even bigger. Mm. And just every time the director would come by and just like swat it out of his hand, which is also terrifying if you think about it. Brutal. Swatting anything out of his hand would be pretty detrimental to your health.
I mean, but The Rock signed a contract, so he knows.
Exactly. And The Rock is nothing if not contractually bound.
A consummate professional.
I mean, what else is there? Like, what didn't you like about this movie? It's really hard to pin down things.
I mean, look, like, it's a kid's movie, right? Like, it's inherently very silly, and some of the jokes are kind of dumb, and there are some gags that, for me, didn't really pay off. The whole thing with, like, his weird baby gang, that didn't really go anywhere. Like, little nitpicks where I'm just like, I probably... To be honest, I wouldn't watch it again, but it's just because I don't really love kids' movies like this. There's not a single song, so what's the point, really?
That's the bar for you? Is that it's got to have music in it?
Yeah, if I'm going to watch a kids' movie, there's got to be a catchy soundtrack.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, like, yeah. Yeah, I understand that. I mean, yeah, the villains in this one weren't great. Mm-mm. Like... you know, it was fine that they wanted a puppy to be a thing. But like, my question is, and I think this is what really annoyed me about both of these movies, right? So the whole like premise is that, is this in Timmy's mind?
Yeah.
Or is this reality? And it happens, like, they really explore that more in the second one, and we'll probably get into it when we do the second one. But, like, okay, so this might be in Temmie's mind, and it might also be real. So what are the stakes here? Like,
yeah,
are puppies, like, is there going to be a forever puppy, and, you know, this is a thing? Or is Boss Baby just a figment of his imagination and him, like, trying to process
just a way for him to
getting
cope
a baby
with,
brother?
Yeah. I like the ambiguity of it. I thought that was kind of cool.
Okay.
Like, a little nod to the parents, like, or was it all a dream? And obviously kids think it's all real. Mm-hmm. Obviously that's done away with in the second movie, where it's made clear that it's very real and it's not just, like, Tim's own delusion. But I thought that was a cool touch for the first movie, that you're like, oh, it could just potentially be a story about coming to terms with having to share your parents.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you as an older sister, how did you feel when Max came along?
Yeah.
Tell me your transition.
I think it's a little different for girls, because girls are like expected and taught to be quite nurturing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was very excited, because I was excited to have like a baby to help look after. And I really loved looking after my sister. I still look after her sometimes.
Aww.
So it wasn't like a, I don't know, I don't think it was a drama for me. I think, if anything, my parents were like, leave the baby alone. Like, how did you feel about it as someone who's never had to share?
I mean, I really resonated with Tim in the first sort of 20 minutes when, you know, his parents were like, oh, how do you feel about having a brother? And he's just
prince.
Like, no, thank you. And I was like, yeah, yeah.
I feel enough.
I feel you, brother. I feel you. Don't you worry. You're not alone in this.
That was a very well done moment too, where they're like, how would you feel if you had a brother? And he's like, nope, I'm enough.
It's fair. Look, we are. Us single children are amazing. Look, I'm sorry that you guys are lesser and you have to share love. We just demand more. We know what we're worth and we just demand it. You know?
Interesting. I mean, that's between like you and a therapist. Like, I can't be involved.
that's our new podcast, is Therapy Hour, where you just try and unpack all of this.
I don't think that's healthy.
That would not be a good idea for our friendship. So, I mean, not much to say, so let's move on. Golden Nugget.
I think for me, definitely the standout was like the animation. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really, really well done. I really loved all the imagination sequences. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really beautiful.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think it's all the business stuff. Like you mentioned, that joke about not going to business school. Fucking hilarious.
Yeah. There were some really good business jokes.
His sort of affinity towards memos is just was one of my favorite speeches of all time.
Now let's get to work. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Whoa! Slice!
No, no. Ugh, there's nothing here about a new puppy. Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating. He drains it!
So once we find the file on the new puppy, what do we do then? Send in the baby ninjas?
Even better. I'm going to write the perfect memo.
Boom! Boom! Wait. What's a memo?
A memo is something you write to give people information.
That's your plan? You're gonna write a book report? That's so boring.
No, Templeton. Memos are for important things. A memo can bring people together. A memo can be a call to arms, a manifesto, a poem. A memo can change the world.
Wow. When you explain it like that, it still sounds boring.
And I love that. And yeah, it was just those little jokes that I was just like, corporate America has just spoiled this rotten here, and I'm just so happy.
I love business jargon. I mean, I use it 8 hours a day. I love it.
What's your favorite business jargony word or phrase?
Oh, my favorite is when someone asks me to do something and I don't want to do it, or like I don't really have capacity for that right now.
Great.
Maybe
one.
You could just I'll just add it to my backlog.
Oh, that's great. I like that. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's hot.
What about you?
I love the word deliverables, as if we're all you know, how are you on your deliverables? Well, they call me FedEx because I always have deliverables.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. Business talk is fantastic. Let's put a pin in that. Incredible.
And guys, if you're ever in a meeting and people are like, what do you think? And you don't have an opinion, here's what you do. You go, why don't we get back to like the issue at hand here? I feel like we've all gotten a little into the weeds.
That's great.
And then you restate the problem everyone's talking about, but like a little slower.
That's perfect. I love that. Oh, what a fantastic business tip. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
If anyone from my work is listening to this, they know that I don't do that.
They're just going to call you out in the next meeting and just be like, aha, I knew it. Like,
Simone, you are not as sassy as you claim to be at work.
I don't know. I think you're going to be a corporate bigwig. I could imagine you being at work being like, damn it, I want results.
Where are those reports?
I told you, Jenkins, I wanted them on my desk by 2 o'clock. It is 2:06.
This is embarrassing.
I could imagine you as being like a Moira Rose kind of businesswoman, though. Just being like...
Don't flatter. At this point, I'm really more of an Alexis. Like, truly, when I talk, like, yeah. When I do, like, marketing things and I'm, like, chatting to people about stuff I can do, I'm like, okay, so here's what I can do for you. And it's rough. It's pretty rough. Like, I hear myself as I'm doing it and I'm like, what is happening to me?
La, 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 la. A little bit Alexis.
A little bit Alexis.
Look.
Stuff that's going to be stuck in my head the whole day now.
Everyone knows that, you know, you're expensive sushi. You're a huge big yacht. Everyone knows this.
I'm a little bit single.
Even when I'm not. I got a great compliment today. It's a purely, it's one of my favorite corporate comments that I ever had. Okay. So basically someone asked me to do something and I was like, I'm not going to be able to do it today. I can get it done by like Thursday. And I got a best email back being, well done on your time management and managing expectations. That's really good. Especially it's very clear that you're very busy right now. And like, I thought that was a little sort of sarcastic, maybe a little sort of, you know, biting. But then I remembered that I did send him an email at 7 o'clock this morning when we start at 9. So he knows how busy I am.
Look at you.
So I was like, that's an odd compliment, but I'm definitely going to take it.
Okay, what's it like being better than everyone, Chad?
Look, it's just part of being a single child, Simone. What can I say?
Okay, he's bringing it back. Very nice. Very well done. I walked you into
that. You really did. You set it up and I just knock it out of the park. So, I mean, you've already mentioned you wouldn't watch this again. So I got to disagree with you. I think I'm going to add this to the repertoire, man. This is just a fun,
really?
Like, it's just a really fun romp and it's just hilarious from start to finish. And I think, you know, with the downfall of capitalism coming in the next 2 years, we're going to
this is going to be extra funny.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to look back at this and be like, look how stupid, corporations were before the fall. Yeah.
And Alec Baldwin.
And especially Alec Baldwin. May he fall soon. Well, there we go. Shall we plow straight back into number two?
Please explain this plot to everybody.
Right. So it is many, many years later, and Tim has suddenly undergone a voice change, and he is now voiced by James Marsden. He is an adult now.
Is that true?
Yeah. Did you not notice
they couldn't get Toby back?
No, they couldn't. And it really, really annoyed me when I watched the second one.
Toby,
I was like,
what the
who
fuck?
Is this? What's going on? Like, fuck, Toby. You clearly don't... He's still living off the Spider-Man money.
Must be.
Lucky bastard. Yeah. So, it's now Tim Marsden, James Marsden, who's voicing Tim. And he has his own family. He's got Carol, voiced by Eva Longoria. And then Tabitha, voiced by Ariana Greenblatt, as his lovely, lovely daughter. Everything seems perfect. Everyone's really happy in the family. But unfortunately, Tim and Ted, again, voiced by Alec Baldwin, seem to have drifted apart in their old age. Ted is always working, and Tim has just kind of given up on trying to reach out to his brother, so they've kind of gone apart. Issue is that Tabitha is completely in love with Ted, like absolutely idolizes his sort of business ethic and things like that, and it's causing a rift between Tabitha and Tim. Tim is this very fun-loving stay-at-home dad who's always still got this active imagination, while Tabitha is this absolute bloody genius who is just way more advanced than any of the kids in her set, and it seems to be just growing apart from her dad. To the point where Tim goes to say goodnight to Tabitha, and she just sticks out her hand for a jovial handshake rather than a traditional kiss, which, I mean, personally broke my heart. Don't know how you felt about that.
Yeah, I'm not a parent. I don't particularly want to be a parent, but, like, I felt that. Just knife to the heart.
That was harsh. That was very harsh. So, eventually, Tim and Carol have a new baby named Tina, voiced by Amy Sedaris. She seems all cute. Her and Tabitha get on really well when suddenly Tim comes across Tina one night and she is talking on the phone. Turns out she is also a boss baby.
What?
It's completely flipped Tim's mind out. He's so freaked out that his own daughter is yet another boss baby. And she's down from, what's it called? Baby Corps. In order to resolve yet another shenanigan-fueled disaster. This time, they are looking at Tabitha's school, which is Tiny Acorns or something like that. Basically, the owner, Dr. Armstrong, voiced by the enigmatic Jeff Goldblum, is setting up these schools all across the world, and it's for, like, incredibly gifted children. Super, super smart children who he wants to sort of, you know, grow and mold into these absolute geniuses. And Tabitha is part of this school. Tina is investigating the school because it seems a bit iffy and, you know, Baby Core is a little bit worried about what's going on at the schools. And now she's asked Tim to get involved to try and sort of infiltrate the school and get things right. Also, on this basis, she sees that Tim and Ted have sort of distanced themselves from each other, so it is her plan to get them back together. Ted comes round, thinking that there's an emergency with Tabitha, and Tina turns them both into babies again. So now both Tim and Ted are back to being a baby with the help of Tina. Lots of T's. So, lots of shenanigans ensue. They investigate this school. Tim finds out that Tabitha is really nervous because she's got a recital at the end of the month, and she's really worried because she can't sing for shit, and Tim is like a musical genius, and she's just really worried that her dad is not going to be proud of her. Obviously, Tim is a kid, you know, hears all of this directly from Tabitha, and it breaks his heart, breaks my heart too. And it's just super sad, but Tim basically helps Tabitha to learn to sing again, which is really nice. While investigating the school, Ted works out that Dr. Armstrong is actually a baby the whole time.
What?
So it's crazy. Dr. Armstrong was a kid of two psychologists. Apparently, psychologists in every kid's movie are evil. So Dr. Armstrong's kid's parents basically did experiments on him, made him super smart, and he realized that he didn't actually need them anymore. So his whole big plan is to make all kids free of their parents. He's going to develop a way to just get rid of parents in entirety and just let kids sort of run their own lives with sort of him being at the head of the kid empire. So, more shenanigans ensue. It comes to the big night of the recital, and this is also when Dr. Armstrong is gonna, like, reveal his big plan. Ted and Tim obviously are fighting on and off, you know, not realizing that, you know, the only way they can do this together is to be brothers. They then realize this at the final moments because Dr. Armstrong reveals his plan. He has basically created a whole bunch of apps, and this one specific app is going to hypnotize all the parents into becoming mindless zombies, in which case then kids will be free to do whatever they want. As you can imagine, obviously, Tim, Ted, and Tina save the day. They get rid of Dr. Armstrong. Tabitha, you know, is able to sing, and Tim sees it, and Tabitha realizes that Tim, the small version of Tim, is actually her dad. And everyone essentially lives happily ever after, including Dr. Armstrong, who goes back to his parents and realizes that they loved him all along.
Aww.
The end.
The end. Cute. What's your cliffhanger here?
I think it has to be this one.
I expected that you would be expecting me. So there.
Oh, and by the way, I know why you're here.
Have a seat, please.
Thank you.
You know what you are? You are, if I may, extremely intelligent.
Go on.
Forget works well with others. You make others work well for you.
That's literally the title of the book I'm working on.
You remind me a lot of myself when I was your age, which is now. What? Surprise, surprise.
What the frittata?
because it's just really fun. I mean, I love Jeff Goldblum. I think he's fantastic. And the fact that they got
what
him
a role
movie,
for him.
Oh, what a great role for him. As a baby, fucking hilarious.
I wonder how they pitched it to him. I wonder if they even had to, or if they were like, do you want to voice a baby? And he was like, yes. And they were like, no, but it's an evil baby. And he was like, I mean,
you had me. You had
double
me.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't you've already hit gold. Stop digging.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this one, like you said in the beginning, sort of they really sort of, you know, bat it away that sort of whether it's in his mind or whether it's real, like it is real, yeah. You know, these things are actually happening. Baby Core is real and everything. I think that does take away a bit of the fun of this, especially if you're an adult.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, you can kind of look at this and be like, oh, this is, you know, all in his imagination and that makes it fun. Or is it real? This is just like, nah, fuck you. This is real.
Yeah.
Makes it less fun, in my opinion. I don't know how you feel.
No, I totally agree. That's also how I felt. I thought this one, it had some really nice emotional beats, but it was just really heavy on the shenanigans. Like, just a lot of scenes of, like, pure chaos and stuff and, like, silliness. Like, were the ninja babies necessary?
No.
I don't really think so. I don't know. There's just some extra filler stuff that, like, I didn't find super helpful or interesting, but I'm not a kid, so I'm sure those sequences are really fun to watch, actually, especially with, like, much younger kids who just, you know, are in it for the colors and the sounds and the music and everything.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think maybe potentially the first one was more for the parents, and then sort of the TV show came out, and that was probably more, like, they saw, obviously, how it worked with kids being sort of, you know, flashy colors and lots of shenanigans, and then they just plowed that into the second movie, and so it lost a lot of its heart. I think, you know, the pacing and everything in the plot in the first one was really, really well done, and they kept it nice and sort of clippy and short, and it was great. This one, there was just a lot happening,
so much,
yeah,
too much, I would say.
Exactly, like, yeah, they could have kept it much, much more simple, and it still would have been a really solid movie. Would have really appreciated it. Yeah.
I mean, so what I liked that they made Tim a house husband. I think, like, this really speaks to, like, this new generation of kids' movies where they're, like, normalizing stuff like that. And it's never weird. Like, it's never called into question, like, oh, you're less of a man because your wife's the breadwinner. Like, that's not even an issue, which I really like. He's just like, yeah, I love being a dad. I love hanging out with my kids. I get to do all the coolest stuff. Like, this is great. I really like that. I liked his relationship with Tabitha. I thought it was really sweet. Mm-hmm. And, like, again, it's really this great new generation. Like, his masculinity is never called into question. He's never, like, grumpy or insecure about who he is as a man. Like, he's upset that he's not successful in the way that Ted is successful. But he's not like, oh, I'm a man. Men are supposed to do this,
absolutely.
You know? And, like, even when his own... My favorite, actually, it's such a low-key moment. He's a kid. He's trying to find a seat in class, and the kids are being really mean to him about finding a seat. And without, like, even thinking about it, his daughter's like, oh, yeah, here you go. You can just take my seat. And he's like, I'm so proud. And she's like, what?
Yeah. It's so good the whole way through with their relationship.
Can I tell you, the moment that actually made me fucking belly laugh was the Christmas pageant.
Yeah.
Where they're going through, like, the different religions' versions of, like, Christmas. Or, like, and they're like, you know, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Diwali. Nothing.
Yes, yeah, and it's the guy,
it's
like,
just a kid in, like, a black turtleneck.
It was so good. And then, like, the whole thing just takes a really dark turn where they're just like, everything is burning and the world is on fire. And it's just like, holy shit, this took a real serious beat all of a sudden. Fantastic Christmas pageant. They need to do that more.
The nothing. And then the music stopping and everything fucking destroyed
excellent.
Me.
Excellent, excellent bit. So, so funny. I also really appreciated that they didn't do, like, a C-plot where little Tim and Tabitha sort of, like, have feelings. Like, because that would have been, like, from Tabitha's point of view. Because
Like,
Back to the Future, all of those kind of things. Like, I'm really glad they left that out of it because it looked like it was going that way very briefly. And then they switched it around.
Yeah,
and
I was
well chuffed that they didn't do that because it is... Mondo creepy.
Would have been so gross. Yeah,
exactly. I thought that, I mean, that's a question for you. A lot more music in this one. How do you feel about that in comparison?
It was fun. I liked the music. Clearly, the musical never made me laugh out mm-hmm. loud. But that's not the same as having a fun soundtrack, is it?
Well, I mean...
Like, here's the thing. I want to bop to the tunes okay. in my car.
Okay, yeah, this one did not have that. It was like a very...
It's not Moana.
No, it's a very emotional soundtrack. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. Other than that, I think, you know, the Boss Baby, Tina was fun. I thought she was, you know,
yeah,
really, really hilarious in terms of this kind of thing.
Yeah. I really liked the dialogue actually between her and Alec Baldwin as the Boss Baby. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like this comparison, I guess, of like boomer businessmen versus
yes.
like millennials, where she's like, oh, I actually really value a good work-life balance, or like, I'm not totally committed to the corporation, like I have side hustles, and like,
yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah, it was really lovely. Yeah absolutely. It was cool to see the different generations and how, like, you know, Boss Baby was just not okay with what was going on and things, like, yeah it was really fun to see that. Yeah.
I thought it was a clever nice little throwback for the parents.
Definitely. Other than that, it was fine. Like, yeah, like you said,
fine,
I mean,
yeah.
shenanigans out
had
the wazoo.
Some bright moments, yeah. But like a lot of like bullshit filler.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the whole thing with the pony, not necessary. Like you said, the whole thing.
What?
I mean, I did like the one filler with the creepy baby, the creepy baby that was like,
oh,
Pennywise,
no,
the clown.
I hated that. That was so useless. I was like, why are you giving me nightmares for no reason?
Is that because you know that would be your kid if you had a kid?
It would be. I'd have the creepiest child.
You would have the creepiest child, my friend. If she would be so pale.
The thing is, Chad, I can say this because I don't want kids. I want, like, an eerie-looking child. Like, with big eyes where, like, it could turn out pretty later. I don't
okay.
want a terrifying, hideous Chucky doll of a child.
So you're more thinking like Corpse Bride, Nightmare Before
yeah.
Christmas, yeah, that kind of
yeah.
pretty, you know, creepy but pretty, yeah, rather than
yeah, exactly.
Holy crap,
you know,
Pennywise.
I definitely have more of like a gothic mystique mm-hmm. that I want from my child, and not a slasher mystique.
You're just gonna buy all the parasails for your child one day, just lace gloves and parasails. That's the vibe we're going for.
Oh, I mean, look, if they inherit these enormous eyes, like,
what are you gonna do about
it?
What are you gonna do?
They've got to turn them into a Burton character. I'm sorry.
It's just the way things are. That's the rules. You don't make them.
I don't make them.
So, I mean, golden nugget for this one?
Golden nugget for this one is, I'm gonna go with what I said about the dialogue between like the millennial and the boomer Gen X type boss mm-hmm. guy. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was like a nice commentary mm-hmm. that I did not expect to come out of a kid's movie. Yeah, I mean, overall mm-hmm. it was cute, and also Tim's relationship with his daughter, I think that was really like genuine and really well written. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think for me, it's Tim and his relationship with Tabitha. It's really cute. You know, he's
yeah.
so unbelievably proud of her. And he's just like, he's so genuinely shocked when she says that, you know, she's worried he won't be proud of her, when he
oh
is just
God.
Like
nonstop
constantly,
proud of her. That's so
constantly
nice.
Proud of her. It's so beautiful. It was so, so beautiful. Yeah, that was lovely. Also, just, sorry, last point on this one. Second Chekhov's gun that I didn't see coming was the candy volcano that saved the day.
Yeah, wasn't ready for that.
No, not at all. I think this one is really good at burying the Chekhov's appliances.
You look at, so there are a couple good writers in that writer's room. We see
yeah,
you.
We see you. We recognize. And so I'm assuming because you wouldn't watch the first one, you're definitely not going to watch the second one.
No. These movies are one and done for me. I'm glad I
right.
saw them, but it's, I don't know, it's just not the kind of thing I seek out.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, for me, I think, you know, kids, from my experience with like friends' kids, I know they watch the same shit over and over again. So I think when you choose a kids' movie that you're going to show your children, like, you got to be prepared for that.
Mm.
And to be honest with you, I would rather do the Boss Baby duo and the series, rather than sort of like, say, Lego Movie 1 and 2 just constantly on repeat.
Uh-huh.
Or like even, you know,
yeah.
Frozen 1 or 2 constantly on repeat. At least with this, you've got some varying content. So I would say I would watch this again, and I'd be very happy to show my children this.
Okay, good note. Good shout.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Simone, for indulging me on the Boss Baby double feature.
You're so very welcome. I enjoyed that, actually.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. It was good to sort of, you know, set this as a KPI. We've achieved that KPI. And, you know, our bonuses are secured for the year.
And now we can look forward to just wrapping up Q4 really well.
Oh, it's going to be great. I'm so excited. Christmas party.
I'm ready.
Is your office having a Christmas party?
So in the interest of being like COVID safe, we're sort of staying in our little teams and doing like smaller Christmas parties like in our teams rather than doing like big super spreader event, even though most of us are vaccinated. So yeah, I'm doing like a small Christmas thing. I also decided I'm going to make Christmas cookie boxes for all of my colleagues, which I'm very excited to do. Well, just obviously the people on my team, like the company's too big. I'm not, not going to make that many cookies.
You're not insane.
No.
That's fair enough. I mean, would you like, our company has just gone wild with their decision to with what they're going to do with the Christmas party. And I mean, if any of my colleagues listen to this, like, it is wild. And I'm not even going to apologize and like try and hide this. We're having our Christmas party in February.
Why? Okay, sure.
Because it's slightly COVID safer, I guess. Like, I think we want to see what's gonna happen over December, because I can imagine, like, cases are probably going to rise, even though, like, most people are vaccinated. Like, so I guess what they're trying to think of is maybe sort of by February, things will have calmed down. But Christmas in February, y'all. That's what my company's
doing. It's nice. It's the coldest month of the year. You need a little bit of festivity.
There you go. I really hope so. Yeah. So that's what my company's doing. So then, talking of Christmas cheer, what is your gratitude?
My gratitude for this week. Oh, I'm gonna say it's. I'm just very happy that I'm in a place where I can start new hobbies now. Like, I have the disposable income for hobbies, which is pleasant.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. So I took a pole dancing class yesterday because, like I told you, I am the whitest, most millennial woman that you know. Nothing quite screams quarter life crisis like taking pole dancing classes, but I'm just excited to have something to like work towards and try to get better at, and maybe just be like slightly more comfortable in my own body.
Oh, that'll be good for you. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's all a journey, and you got to do what you got to do to make yourself more comfortable. Yeah, that's awesome. So good on you for, like, pushing the boundaries.
Thanks.
Yeah.
What about you?
I am super jazzed and super grateful for my air fryer this week.
Nice.
I bought it as, like, when I moved out, I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to get, like, nice appliances that I can just carry with me. And honestly, that air fryer is bomb. Like,
I've heard people are, like, in love with their air fryers.
I mean, it's you know, talking about white people things, like, it is the whitest of white as well.
That's true.
But honestly, like, I made fries in it the other day, and it was just so perfect. Like, they were, like, nice and crunchy and crisp on the outside, but nice and soft on the inside. And you know what? No oil. Mm-mm-mm. It was perfect.
I've heard that. Well, they're also amazing for roasting chickpeas.
Oh, yeah? Okay, I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give that a go. That's a good shout.
Nice crispy, crunchy chickpeas. Oh, the best
snack.
Delicious, high-fiber snack.
Best snack. You put me onto that years ago, and it has saved my life so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Try it, guys.
Yeah, so if you've got an air fryer out there, just, you know, hit me up with your recipes. I would very much appreciate it. So, Simone, what do we feel like doing next week?
Okay, so this is a very specific theme, but bear with me. We're gonna do rom-coms that are daughter themed.
I like it.
Kind of.
I like it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we are gonna do My Boss's Daughter.
Excellent.
Which has Tara Reid in it, so it's gonna be good. And
that multi-acclaimed winning Oscar winning.
The star of Sharknado, famously.
Yes.
And First Daughter with Katie Holmes.
Oh, excellent. We haven't done a Katie Holmes in so long.
I love her.
It's going to be so good to see her again.
Good for
her. She's great.
I always just wish her the best, you know?
Can't go wrong with her. Absolutely. Especially after dating Tom Cruise.
Oh, God. Like,
yeah. She deserves nothing but happiness, really.
Wishing her nothing but light and love. I always think, like, her and Nicole Kidman maybe, like, occasionally talk, and they're like, we've dodged a bullet, huh?
Uh-huh. Just, like, once a month or so, just being like, whew! Can you imagine?
Just breathing huge sighs of relief together.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is going to be fun. A rom-com daughter theme. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, love it.
You know, we have to, God knows, we keep looking for themes.
We do love a theme, don't we? We should be invited to go and produce Survivor, because we would come up with some themes. apparently I was listening to a podcast the other day, and like the host really loves Survivor, and they were saying that at one season it was divided by race.
No!
Which just seems like a really terrible idea.
Guys!
Like, Jeff Probst just fucked up hard.
Who greenlit that?
That is a terrible decision. And that wasn't even like Trump era.
Like,
fucking
reality TV exists on its own plane, mm-hmm. you know? Like, it's just divorced from the rest of us, ironically.
Ironically. I mean, yeah, whoever came up with reality TV, good lord. Like, special place deserved in hell for you because of the implications that it's wrought. Goodness.
Let's not.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate you. We appreciate everything that you've done and all the support that you give us. We really, really love you so very much. And yeah, please do tell us what you've been watching, what you would like to see coming up to the end of the year. You know, Christmas is coming up, so let's talk some of your favorite bad Christmas movies. We love Christmas movies, especially the worse, the better. So please do tell us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And where can they tell us these things, Simone?
They can talk to us on Facebook or Instagram at Fresh Tomatoes Podcast, on Twitter at Fresh Tomatoes MP. They can email us at freshtomatoespodcast@gmail.com.
There you have it. And as we say at the end of every episode,
we love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Goodbye.
Are you into the cyberpunk tabletop games or excited for Cyberpunk 2077? Are you looking to brush up on the lore, stay up on all the latest news, and talk about the game when it comes out? Check out the Cyberpunk Lorecast, a show from Robots Radio with me, your host, Robots. We'll go over all the details you need to know about the world, characters, and story of Cyberpunk. Available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.